witnessing these signs and wonders. But none of the rest dared associate with him. However, the people held them in high esteem. In other words, the other Jews wouldn't get close to them because they were a little nervous about this, but they very much respected them. And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to the number, not because they were trying to create a message that was attractive, but because they were speaking the experiential message that was attractive, the message of Christ. It drew people to the church to such an extent that they even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on cots and pallets so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on any one of them and they would be healed. That's very amazing.
Comforter.
That's right.
Yes,
and it's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit, the innermost being, Spirit of Jesus Christ and of God the Father. Both. It's their Spirit. And he left it in them, and it was infusing them. So it is the Holy Spirit's power now that is affecting the healing even when Peter's shadow falls on the people. It's the Holy Spirit empowering them to something that they could not do. In fact, he said over in chapter 4, are you thinking that it is by our own power that this man was made whole? This man had been crippled at the door of the temple. And Peter said, I don't have any money to give you, but what I do have, I will give. And he healed the man. And it was a healing that neither the Sanhedrin, nor the Pharisees, nor the high priests could deny. And he said, do you think that healing came by me? No, it came through the Holy Spirit from God. This was a Holy Spirit thing, he said, not a Peter thing. So that's where we're at here. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And also the people from the cities, verse 16, in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. But the high priest rose up along with his associates, that is, the sect of the Sadducees. And the Sadducees were the ones, if you remember, that did not believe in resurrection. There was a group, the Pharisees, who did believe in resurrection, but the Sadducees did not. So the Sadducees now are coming with the high priest, and they are opposing Peter and the other apostles. And they laid hands on the apostles and put them in public jail, arrested them. But an angel of the Lord during the night opened the gates of the prison and, taking them out, said, go your way, stand and speak to the people in the temple the whole message of this life. And if there's a title to today's lesson, it is the whole message of this life. Not just the causes, not just performance, not doctrine, the whole message. Go and stand in the temple to the very ones who just jailed you and speak the whole message of this life. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Upon hearing this, they entered into the temple about daybreak and began to teach. Now, they'd just been put in jail by the leaders of the temple. Now, you didn't hear them dickering with the angel here saying, are you sure this is what you want me to do? Because it's going to be a little scary. They just put me in jail. That's not there. They don't care about themselves. And if there is another message that the church today is speaking, it is that we care about ourselves to the detriment of the pure message of Jesus Christ. If I send out a message that I care about myself, then the message of love, the message of sharing what I have with those who don't have, will get lost. If I care so much about myself that I'm over here in this one channel and I'm championing it, but it doesn't include the love and the grace of Jesus Christ and what he did, the whole message of this life in him, then my voice is not being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Here, he says, you go. You go and speak to them. And upon hearing this, they entered into the temple about daybreak and began to teach. Now, when the high priest and his associates had come, they called the council, which is the Sanhedrin, together, even all the Senate of the sons of Israel, and sent orders to the prison house for them to be brought. But the officers who came did not find them in the prison, and they returned and reported back. We found the prison house locked quite securely, and the guards standing at the doors, but when we had opened up, we did not find anyone inside. They are mystified. Now when the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them as to what would come of this. But someone came and reported to them, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people! Exclamation point. Then the captain went along with the officers and proceeded to bring them back without violence, for they were afraid of the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they stood them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, we gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in his name. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered and said, we must obey God rather than you, rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up. Now, here is Peter again, a second time, in the face of those that had seen him as a coward. Just a few days earlier, he had hidden. He had cursed God. This is Peter's second time to be able to take back his life and take back his power through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's speaking to Annas and probably Caiaphas and others, the high priest and others, and he's saying, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had put to death by hanging him on a cross. He is not softening the edges. He's not wading out gently into the depth here. He is plunging. He is the one, he said, whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and a savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things. We have seen it with our eyes. If we open our lives up to an experiencing of Jesus Christ and he comes and he impacts us with a holy love, or he impacts us with a sense of forgiveness of sins, a sense of purpose, a sense of destiny, that he has called us out into this world as his only instruments of love. If we catch that, then you and I and the community of believers that catch that will be a light and will be a torch and will be part of bearing witness to something that we have experienced. George Whitefield in the 1700s was part of the Great Awakening, and he came over here from England to America to preach, and 20,000 people accepted Christ as their Savior on the Eastern Seaboard where he preached. And he was talking about the dead churches, and pastors, Jonathan Edwards and others on the Eastern Seaboard had lamented that we are fallen into as deep a sleep as ever. And the deadness of the church here was astonishing to the few spiritual leaders at that time. And George Whitefield came over here and he said, churches are dead because dead men lead them. Churches are dead because dead men lead them. people lead the churches then and some of the churches today, and they're dead because they don't have an ongoing experiencing of Jesus Christ in their lives. And if we feel lethargic, if we feel dead, it may be because we just need a new encounter with Christ. We need one of those reviving moments with Him. And sometimes I'm in grief and I can't have that. But sometimes I'm just holding on to things that hinder me experiencing it. And if I'm hindered, then I don't have much currently to bear witness of. And this is the whole thrust of bearing witness to what we know. If I am dead, maybe I'm bearing witness to what I don't know. That is exactly right, Linda. That's why I talked about the need for revival. We have a need for a personal realignment. We have to, on a regular basis, realign ourselves and ask ourselves, okay, just check ourselves and see where I am. Where am I focusing too much and using my time over here where I don't need to be using my time or wasting my time? We have to kind of continue to check, what am I doing with my time? What am I doing with my focus? Exactly. And that's where, if we coast too long, we will lose an intensity for the good news of Jesus Christ among us and for saving people eternally. You're right. So let's continue reading here. We are witnesses to these things, verse 32, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. But when they heard this, they were cut to the quick and were intending to slay them. And a certain Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, respected of all, said, verse 35, men of Israel, take care what you propose to do with these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody, and a group of about 400 men joined up with him, and he was slain, and all who followed him were dispersed. And then he mentions another one the same way. And he said then in verse 38, so in the present case, I say to you, stay away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or action should be of men, it will be overthrown. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them, or else you may even be found fighting against God. Paul was one of his students. That's all interesting, isn't it? So you wonder what Paul's conversion did to that, to his view of things and to his life. I want to back up. Verse 20, go your way, stand and speak to the people in the temple, the whole message of this life. We're going to end tonight with this. What is the whole message of this life? What is it? It's the Word of God. And so let's break down the Word of God into other parts. What if we've got the whole message of this life is the Word of God, what are some of the messages within that? What does it mean? Okay. Obedience and to love one another. With that, and there's other things we can say, but I want to add something here to this. What does our world, our community, need? I mean, we knew what they needed then. They needed people. They needed community. They needed to know they were a part of something that mattered, that their lives mattered. They needed healing because there were no doctors and hospitals like we have today. They needed help. Because they were destitute, they needed help because their bodies were breaking down. So you see the Holy Spirit moving in with amazing healing. You see the community of believers coming in with amazing support so that no one was left in need. That was their need then, and that was part of the message. What does our world today, our community, what does it need? It needs us to stand up for the truth. Is that doctrinally? Is that arguing people who are wrong about the truth and convincing them that our way is the right way? What does that mean?
I think it needs to
vary. It's up to him, and it is the greatest need is a spiritual need. If we lose sight of the Holy Spirit, then we lose the experiencing of Christ. That's the deal. We experience Christ as we are in the Spirit, no matter what's happening. Okay. And someone that cares and someone that loves. So love is enormous here. I want to give you all an assignment. I want you to hover around verse 20 of chapter 5. And the American, what version is this? The New American Standard Version, which I don't read out of, but I am because I can at least read it. go your way, stand and speak to the people in the temple. The whole message of this life. I want you to go before the Lord this week on a regular basis and ask him, what is the whole message of this life, of my life in you? This life in you, what is the whole message? And then, how do you want me to live that? How do you want this to look in me? If we catch this, it can infuse us as individuals, but maybe even more importantly, as a community of believers, with a sense of purpose and destiny that we do have a message that matters today. And it is a message that a hungry, thirsty world may not even know it needs, the woman at the well. If you just knew the water I have to give to you, you would ask me. We have water. And we have thirst out there. And we have a whole life message to live. And only we can carry that water. And I think we've lost sight and just said, somebody else is carrying the water. I don't know what it is exactly, and I don't know how to get it there. And I think verse 20 of chapter 5 of Acts is for us. He's asking us to speak with our lives the whole message of this life. So what is it? What is God saying to you about it? And what is he wanting you and me? What is he wanting us to do? He has that personal, intimate interest in everything about me and you. And that's what infused the entire generation of the first century church, is that all the individuals that were part of that wave knew it. And they were fueled by it with a boldness and one heart. And it changed the world. And I think we are asked to change our world. Not theologically, not doctrinally, not issue-oriented, but love-oriented. But do your work before the Lord this week, and let's end in prayer. Lord, thank you for each person who's here tonight. I ask that your Holy Spirit would be so strongly upon us all this week that you would speak a personal Rhema message deep in the inner recesses of our heart about the full message of this life in you and what you are asking of us and what you're asking us to do with this message. Pray this in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Thank you. Thank you all for being here.